Welcome to episode 3 of Midlife Mojo. Today, we're going to be building off of episode 2, where we talked about creating a personal vision of you at your best, where you are fit and flourishing. If you missed episode 2, I'll put a link to it in the show notes and make sure to check it out because it really goes through 4 key steps to help you create your vision. It also includes a free worksheet that will help you get to that big picture vision easily, help you paint it out with clarity and in living color quickly and easily. So now that you had your big picture vision for being fit and flourishing in mind, how do you get there? How do you take the steps to make that a reality so that you are able to step into that vibrant snapshot in real life? So today we'll be talking about some key things to consider and exploring potential strategies for how to give yourself the support you need to make it happen. Welcome to Midlife Mojo, the podcast all about how to be fit and flourish in your 50s with me, your host with over 25 years of experience in the health, fitness, and wellness industry, Lisa Dupree. We'll be talking about all the things that support living life to the fullest. Let's dive in. So what does self-care mean for you? When you hear the words self-care, what comes up for you? So I like to think of self-care and approach it as the things and the activities that you do to either improve or maintain your health and improve your well-being. And things that you are doing, meaningful steps that you're taking that allow you to be the best version of yourself, you know, in midlife and beyond. Coaching successful professionals as well as teaching undergraduates health, along with my own journey of 50 plus years for my own health, I've really found that self-care kind of comes down to things that fall into 3 big buckets. The first being mindset. How you think about caring for yourself and how that manifests or doesn't manifest for that matter. Prioritizing is the second, and that's really about managing time and conflicting responsibilities because we all wear many different hats and we have a lot of responsibilities and roles that we are trying to balance. And then the third thing is really taking meaningful action that's aligned with your values, what is most important to you. Being someone that really is in the Gen X generation, the just suck it up generation, we really have to be mindful of kind of our thoughts around taking care of ourselves before we take care of others. Because, we really were just taught to work hard and not complain. We had to figure things out for ourselves. Like, we didn't have the internet and cell phones and social media and Starbucks, which, for whatever it is, we learned to be super resourceful. We, have a lot of grit as a generation. It's just, individual, realist, no BS. You want something done, you just do it. We didn't complain, so you need to handle your crap. With our habits and things like this, and I'm speaking for myself here, there were times where, you didn't feel good. You were sick. You just sucked it up. You went to work because you had to. You got up, you went to school because you had to. You just did what you needed to do. You went out drinking, had a great time. You woke up in the morning terribly hungover. You jumped in the shower. You put your clothes on. You went into work. You didn't call in sick. You didn't complain about it. You're just like, oh, yeah, we just do what we do. And so for us, in this generation, just having that grit and that resilience is very helpful when it comes to being able to accomplish your goals. But the mindset, sometimes when it is applied to self-care, can really leave us lacking. So I think it's worth taking a moment or so to just kind of think about what are some of the misconceptions that we may have when it comes to self-care, just based on kind of where our mindset is. So one of the misconceptions that comes up pretty frequently when I'm talking with my coaching clients or just hanging out with friends is that self-care only involves like treating yourself or pampering yourself. And while it absolutely can include those things, and those are important to include, it goes deeper than that. So, you know, treating yourself to a massage or your favorite, dessert or something like that, those things are important to build in. But self-care really is about more than that. Another one that comes up is that self-care is selfish. It's about thinking about my own needs, putting my own needs ahead of others. And so when you have this mindset, especially if you tend to be a people pleaser, then you're always going to be doing for others. And what ends up happening is that, you know, your proverbial bucket is, it just keeps getting depleted. So what you are able to give to others and how you're able to show up with others, it's affected, and it can be affected very negatively. So you want to think about, you know, how can I do things that are going to be, you know, give me the energy, give me the ability to meet others' needs, but also meet my needs. So things that you need to do to kind of fill up your bucket, so to speak. Another thing is that self-care is a list of behaviors, like it's things you put on your to-do list. Really, it's not just about a list of things to do. It can encompass much more than that. So outwardly, the behaviors are what you're seeing, but self-care is as much about your mindset and your thinking as it is your behaviors. And what constitutes self-care for each person depends on that person, and it depends on the situation. So some things that work for one person might not work for another person. Some people might be perfectly happy with being able to go and get a massage once a week, or being able to sit down and read for a couple hours by themselves, you know, and then sometimes maybe solitary activities aren't what's needed at all. It's really about kind of, how do I create this connection? How do I have these meaningful conversations? What do I do within, you know, my social group and within my social help that help really, again, fill that bucket up. So if you approach self-care really as a way of living, not a to-do list or things to check off, not discrete behaviors, but literally as a way of living that incorporates kind of how you think about taking care of yourself with kindness and compassion, as well as kind of what those behaviors look like, you want to be building in things that maintain personal balance, that replenish your motivation, and help you grow as a person. And this can really be much easier when it connects to your values and your overall kind of vision for what it looks like for you to be flourishing. So this brings us to our second item that we're exploring today, and that is prioritizing. Managing your time and managing conflicting responsibilities so that you are able to create that space for self-care. Many of us are in a sandwich generation. We have a lot of responsibilities and wear many hats. So if you have kids, they need you. They're going to depend on you for support in many different ways. And, you know, you may be in a position for beginning to have more involvement with aging parents or even caring for them. Then you have your professional responsibilities. That includes like these looming deadlines, expectation of team members and colleagues, trying to meet those on a regular basis and stay, you know, at a high level of performance. And then you've got your personal relationships, being there for your significant other, for your friends, or for your extended family. I mean, there's a lot going on there. All these responsibilities, all these different hats, all these things competing for our time and our attention and our energy, you know, taking care of yourself and really doing the things that are nurturing you and rejuvenating you so that, you know, you have your bucket full to the brim so that you're able to give what is needed for all of these things that are important in our lives is really important. At the same time, taking time for yourself sometimes can seem a little bit selfish. And even if you have said, okay, I'm going to be taking this time and setting it aside for myself to do whatever it is you've decided is going to help rejuvenate you, holding to those boundaries can really result in internalizing some guilt or shame. So these feelings of guilt, it comes up from conflicting values. So if you value your health, but you also value helping others, sometimes that's going to create some conflict. If you are, you know, have the value of being kind and nurturing, and you are used to nurturing and showing that kindness to others, sometimes it just doesn't feel as comfortable to show that same compassion, nurturing, and kindness to ourselves. So kind of being aware of what your responsibilities are and kind of where there's some conflicting values and conflicting responsibilities can go a long way in being able to figure out, okay, how can I make this work for me? And then that brings us to the last big item, which is taking meaningful action. And so when I talk about taking meaningful action, that is really about creating things for your self-care that are going to give you the most impact. So self-care doesn't have to be a big involved production. It doesn't have to take a ton of planning or a lot of time. Because let's be realistic, we don't always have hours and hours to carve out and just do something that we want to do. And if we do, that's fantastic. Like, let's take advantage of that and be clear about what's the benefit that this is going to bring to me or to you, to yourself, and then what's the benefit that it's going to bring to others, and be able to clearly communicate that. I want to invite you to consider a few concrete strategies that can help when you are devising your self-care plan or kind of what steps that you want to take next. So the first thing to consider is, if you want things to be different, then you've got to be willing to do things differently. So we tend to get really ingrained in our habits. And on some level, these habits are working for us. But thinking about kind of your big picture, that vision for you where you are optimally fit and flourishing, you are at your best self, you are successful, you are happy, you are thriving. Like, what's the gap? Where are you now versus where does that picture come in? Where do you want to be? And so, the simple truth is that, if you want to get there and there's a gap, then you've got to be doing something. You need to be doing something differently. And so thinking about, like, how can you experiment? Like, giving yourself permission to experiment with different things. Maybe go against the grain of what you've been doing for a while and try to find some things that really work for you and your body. You want to look at these experiences as feedback as well. So you want it to be able to try something new, cultivate that curiosity, cultivate that sense of adventure in trying some new things. Another strategy to consider is doing the things that really make your heart sing. And this may seem like a no-brainer, but you really want to be doing things that make you happy, because that's really one of the highest forms of self-care. So if you think about kind of, you know, contrasting trying new things, I go back and think of a time when you were really, really, truly happy, when you were really energized, you were super engaged in performing at a really high level. You know, what really felt possible when you were in that space of joy? So thinking about kind of what are those activities that you might want to try revisiting? So thinking about those. And if you can't remember, you know, what really would make you happy, what really energizing you or really energizes you, then it's really time to, you know, kind of have an infusion of fun and something that is going to make your heart sing. So some things like this, you know, things that made you happy when you were younger. Things that come to mind for me when I thought through this and I tried to start practicing it was dancing. I started dancing when I was like 4, I think, and I've danced in some form or fashion most of my life. But over the past couple of years with like job responsibilities, a lot of personal life changes, you know, some of the things that had to do with the pandemic, I really kind of was very narrowed in what I was doing. And I just felt off. And I realized, like, dancing is something that brings me joy. Like, sometimes I do it well, sometimes I do not do it well, but I always, always feel better after doing it. It's a way of expressing myself through movement, but it also speaks to me emotionally and physically. So it is a wonderful form of self-care. So I've made time and cultivated opportunities to be able to do more of that, because it's really, really important way that I've found that helps renew and recharge my spirit. So thinking about what is something that can renew you? What can really recharge you? And then, you know, aim to do that at least once a week or so, if not daily. And then the last strategy I'll talk about today is aiming for completion. Aiming for progress, not perfection. So we're all a work in progress. Self-care is not a one and done. It's not one specific thing. It is a practice. A lot of times we tend to want to do things perfectly, or we want to do them really well. And we compare ourselves to others. We looking at kind of critiquing what other people are doing, and then we critique ourselves. So we don't want to get into that place of comparing and despairing. And we also don't want to waste a lot of time and energy trying to do it, you know, perfectly right and get everything right. So this concept really is about giving yourself permission to be okay with being a work in progress. Being okay with just doing something and not necessarily having it be perfect or, you know, whatever the ideal is for what you had in mind. So this is all something that's going to set the foundation and get you progressing toward accomplishing your vision. So, you know, if you've planned to have a 60-minute workout, but you know, things happen and you only have 45 minutes, like still hold yourself accountable for that. Still realize that there's value in doing what you can with the time you have. So, you know, go and get your workout in for 20 or 30 minutes. So some is better than none, and is more is better than some, but it doesn't always have to be more. You know, thinking about, you know, if part of what energizes you is connecting with your friends or your family, and, you know, your house isn't perfectly clean and, you know, looks like, you know, a show house or something like that, you know, like see what you can do about letting go of that perfectionist tendency and go ahead and invite the people you care about over anyway. Like what you're going to remember and what they're going to remember, I can guarantee you, is like how often you laughed, you know, what you talked about, just being able to be there and enjoy each other's company. Like, nobody's going to remember, like, how clean your kitchen was or, you know, if the grout in your bathroom was a little bit dingy. Like, nobody's going to remember that stuff. So releasing the need to compare, be perfect, you know, it really opens up the space for exploration. And that's where this, the fun, the joy, and the rejuvenation and the energy is going to come from. All right. So we have talked about today a lot of things. So being effective with self-care, you know, the three big things to consider is mindset, like how you're going to prioritize that and manage your responsibility, and then taking meaningful action. We also talked about some strategies, you know, having to be willing to look at things differently, do things slightly differently, experiment, giving yourself permission to find out what works for you and your body and being able to learn from that. And then really being able to do the things that make your heart sing, that really are going to put you in that space of joy, and trying to do those things often, getting those in your schedule. And then the last thing is aiming for completion and progress, not perfection. So don't let that hold you back. Go ahead and do those things that are going to create that connection for you, that are going to align with your values, that are going to help you physically, mentally, emotionally, and to take steps toward your overall vision. Some things to consider as we are wrapping up is that I'm going to go on a limb and guess that you're already doing some things well when it comes to self-care. So thinking about kind of what we've already covered, kind of what are some things that you are already doing well when it comes to your self-care? You know, take some time, think that through, you know, go ahead and give yourselves kudos and a pat on the back for already doing some of these things well. And then maybe come up with a couple of things that when it comes to this practice of self-care, what do you really want to be doing better? And so adding that to the list, what are you doing well? What are a couple of things that you really want to be doing better? And then thinking about an action that you can take over the next week. So what are you willing to commit to? What are you willing to take action on that is going to help improve your overall self-care in the next week? And then kind of stretching that out a little bit more into, like, over the next month, what are some other things that you can do, that you can build in, or that you can try, or you can experiment with that are going to improve your self-care over the next month? And then the last thing would be to kind of think through, like, what kind of support do I need to make this happen? What needs to be put in place so that I can make this happen for me? So those are things to consider. So what you're doing well, what are some things you want to be doing better, what's something you can do within the next week, and then expanding that out over the next month, and then kind of really thinking through what support you need. All right. That brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening. I hope this has been helpful for you. Until next time, keep your mojo rising. If this episode has been helpful to you, I'd love to hear from you. If there's a topic you'd like to hear more about, send it my way. Email me at lisa@lisadupreecoaching.com, or connect with me on Instagram @LisaDupreeCoaching. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.